grabbing the baseline.
Oh, how did he squeeze that in?
This last night. If you try to back up, you're going to get beat. Turn and run.
Caught, got it, and a foul.
The Spartans,
good shooters, enabling you to be an offensive rebounding team.
Winston,
how about this kid? He does rises to the occasion.
With a drive into the paint. Come to the hoop and one.
Short.
And Goins brings it down with a quick outlet to Winston.
Look at this numbers.
One more time. Freddie. That is so good.
Boy, that is impressive.
Yes. Three was, oh, that's a good pass, isn't it?
Yes, he does that great. Side saddle, open look.
Bingo.
Bingo.
Boy, that is good.
Now, the lead with the score will not be indicative of how competitive it was, at least for three quarters of the game. There's Cook with a nice pass from McCaffrey, and it's 80-63. That's an offensive showcase.
Nice job
by Riley Till, right on cue. How can he pick it up?
Good field play.
Of course, in the NBA, right? And two guys that really know and care about one another.
A good relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great respect.
So a 21-game win streak in the Big Ten.
Yeah, a little Ice Cube. Today was a good day here on this Friday, January 25th, 2019. It's always a good day when it's Friday, right? And yesterday was a really good day for the Michigan State men's basketball team. Now pushing that Big Ten Conference win streak to 21 games. And it's more so for me how Michigan State is doing this season. When you really dive into game after game, how Michigan State is finding various ways to win, it is incredibly impressive. So impressive that even though it's not even February yet, I'm seeing this big debate float out there. Which team is better? Last year's Michigan State men's basketball team that featured not one, but two NBA draft lottery picks. Or this year's team, which I believe if you had, let's just throw it around. If you had Cassius Winston and Nick Ward, Josh Langford, if those guys came out and declared for the NBA draft, I don't think either three of those guys are NBA draft lottery picks. Nick will go in the first round. But top 14, I don't know about that one. So which team is better? I want to throw that question out to our listeners, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Connor, you want to weigh in on that real quick before I recap last night's game? Which team is better, last year's or this year's? Or is it way too early to talk about this?
I'd say this year is more of a typical Tom Izzo team. So it seems like it's working a lot better as opposed to last year, which was more of like where you're seeing college basketball go of we got top recruits. But I don't think it wasn't catered to Izzo's style per se. Like you look at all the years they have really deep runs. A lot of times it's a bunch of guys who've been playing together for some time. But I think in terms of college basketball, I think this team's better. I think they're
I think they
play better together. I think having multiple scoring options and kind of people now knowing their roles, like Cassius knows where he lies in the grand scheme of things. Nick knows where he is at. I think it plays out a little bit better than last year, where it was like, oh well, it's a last shot. Do we get it to Jaren? Do we get it to Miles? Is Cassius going to take it? Like it's kind of a comparison, I guess, would be like, you know, back in the, you know, not college basketball, back in like the 2010s, the first year the Big Three in Miami, where the first year they kind of struggled because, you know, there wasn't you don't know in crunch time who you're gonna go to is kind of like.
So you're saying sometimes sometimes top-tier talent can be a hindrance, Dan, in the grand scheme of things when it comes to playing as a team.
You know, I don't know.
I'm going to tell you right now, I think that I'm still going with last year's team. For the simple fact, it's not every day you have two NBA draft lottery picks. And also, it's way too early to have this conversation. I'm with that in because we have to see whether this team can finish the deal and win a Big Ten championship. That last year's team was a team that won the conference, even though I know it leaves a bad taste in your mouth every time you think about what happened at Little Caesars Arena back in March, losing in the first weekend to Syracuse. Still, talent-wise, when you go player by player by player, last year's team was better talent-wise. I hear what you're saying, though. Playing as a team, you know, this is a Michigan State team this season that is getting production from so many different players. And I think last year, you know, when you have the talent of a Miles Bridges and a Jaren Jackson, you have to put an emphasis on making sure that those guys get buckets, right? You know, it's not every day that kind of talent walks through the doors of the Breslin here in East Lansing. So it's a different mentality, but it's still so early. There's a lot of basketball left to play, and Michigan is still pretty good. You know, and we got to see what happens in those two games later on this season. So where I'm coming from.
Oh, no, I'm not completely sold. But as of right this moment, I would say this year. And again, it's not an indictment on the talent because, like you said, on paper, last year's team.
Yeah.
Much, much better. Just the talent. I think, though, in terms of this, and where this team's trending right now, there were moments last year where, yes, they won the Big Ten, but there were moments where it's like, Is this team going to put it together? Last year felt like there was something missing. I don't know how else to describe it, but this year it feels like that everyone on this team kind of knows their role and everyone's able to step up when they need to. Whereas last year, I think a lot of the players on the team were a little bit more in like a more passive role. Like, how can we get Miles and Jaren to look better? And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes that works for teams. I just think
sometimes it does.
Sometimes it doesn't. I mean, just from a perspective, like Tom Izzo teams, like for the majority of the best ones I can remember were ones that was like, this is, I don't know if we got the same level of talent as everyone else, but
there's no debate here. This year's team plays better as a team. Period. And that's why we're having this debate. It's funny that we're having this debate right now, right? Because you would look at last year's team and say, oh, obviously, last year's. This year's team, though, shares the ball so well. And you know what? There was a moment last night where I don't think I've ever heard Tom Izzo say this. In the years covering Tom Izzo, I don't think I've ever heard him say this during a huddle. I love how FS1, Fox Sports 1, they do these inside the huddle bits when watching the game. There was a moment with Izzo last night where he is pleading with his team to not pass up shots. The shots were there. He's looking at his team saying, why are we passing up shots? You know, take the shot. If you got a shot, take the shot. I don't think I have ever heard Tom Izzo plead with his team about that. This team, and we all know, Michigan State, you know, you look at the past few years, they are among the league leaders. Well, the nation's leaders, I should say, not just in the Big Ten. The nation's leaders when it comes to assist. They love sharing the basketball. And last night, what was so indicative of that, you know, this team moves the ball so well. And I tell you what, though, for a moment, four of the first five possessions for Michigan State men's basketball were turnovers. And Iowa, you got to give a lot of credit to Fran McCaffrey and Iowa, in that first half at least, because they played remarkable defense. I don't think I've seen an Iowa team play that kind of defense. You know, I go to the play where, you know, Cassius somehow gets stuck on the baseline, gets double teamed. Iowa gets a hand on the basketball, and they're running down on the break on the other end. They were the movement, the shifting, it was great. And I really thought that Michigan State was confused and they were not going to figure it out. Carver Hawkeye Arena and the fans there, they seemed to get into it. And then something happened in that second half. It's like Michigan State has gears that they can hit. Multiple gears that they can shift to when things aren't going well, when adjustments need to be made, and it came out after the game. I don't know if you guys saw the interview with Bill Rafferty and Tom Izzo and Nick Ward. Then it came out in the paper as well. Something happened during halftime. You know, it may be one of those stories that comes out after the season, but guys were chewing each other out in the locker room. It was pretty intense. You know, I read that Josh Langford, he challenged some players. You know, it got really intense at halftime. And that's what Tom Izzo loves. Tom Izzo loves that kind of stuff because he always talks about having a player-coached team. And that moment that I think the details will probably come out later on this season as to what happened in that locker room at halftime. But those are moments in which a team grows together. You know, when you feel comfortable enough to call out a player, do it in love, challenge that player. But the key is have the team respond positively through an interaction like that. It shows that Michigan State is growing and the chemistry is growing and that comfort level is growing. They kept their poise. When they were down at halftime, they go on a 14-0 run. Spartans totally in control. And then a few minutes later, I'm looking up, and Michigan State extends that run to a 24-2 run. Michigan State up by 14 points. It was like almost in a blink of an eye, I'm seeing a close game, and then I look at the score, and it's a blowout. And now Michigan State 5-0 on the road in the Big Ten. I mentioned the 9-0 spread record. It's truly remarkable. You know, and I keep having these thoughts to myself that, all right, it's coming. Michigan State is going to have a hiccup here. I thought it was going to happen against Maryland. All right, then I came on the air and said, all right, Iowa playing really well. It may happen here. Well, it will happen here. I predicted that Michigan State was going to lose last night. I was totally wrong. Ate those words. Eating those words right now. And it's so remarkable because, again, we go back to this debate, right? When comparing last year's team to this year's team, Michigan State getting production from so many different players. They are so deep right now, which makes it incredibly tough to scout the Spartans. When you're not just getting production from your main guys, right? And again, they're doing this without Josh Langford, who, by the way, was playing in that first matchup against Iowa on December 3rd and gave Michigan State some nice buckets. But just looking at the box score, you know, Kenny Goins continues to contribute. You know, he went 3 of 6 from the floor last night, shooting 50%, 7 points. And, you know, Thomas Kithier, you know, we have been wondering when Thomas is going to get into a game and contribute. And Thomas has shown in these last two games, you know, he's like instant offense, isn't he? He's like an instant spark for Michigan State. He doesn't have to warm up. He's like Vinnie Johnson, the microwave from the 80s Detroit Pistons. He can come right in and give you instant production, and it allows Nick Ward to rest. And Nick Ward was great last night. He was great in the first meeting against Iowa. 21 points from Nick Ward, 7 of 10 from the floor, 28 minutes. You know, then Aaron Henry, he's been growing as the year has grown along. 6 points for him, 2 of 3 from the floor. You know, Matt McQuaid got hot from deep. Hits 3 3-pointers. 9 points for him. You know, Kyle Arns, 2 of 2, didn't miss a shot from the floor, the 2 that he took, 5 points for him. You know, it's amazing. Xavier Tillman, 5 points. I mean, Michigan State is scoring in multiple ways, and the role players have been so key. But you know what? You know who's the straw that stirs the drink? You know who gets the party started? Cassius Winston. Without Cassius, none of this works. When Cassius is sharing the basketball and scoring at the same time, Michigan State is impossible to beat. And oh yeah, by the way, and I've been harping on this a lot too, Cassius Winston is playing defense this season as well. He has improved tremendously on the defensive side of the basketball. You know, I go back to Cassius, his freshman year, when I talked to him during the Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am. And he was like, yeah, you know, I'm working on my defense. It's coming along. And then his sophomore year hit, and I'm like, what in the world are you talking about? I haven't seen, you know, you look like the same defensive player that we saw your freshman year. But he's really improved this season. I don't know what happened in the offseason. I don't know what kind of drills that he worked on, in, you know, during the summertime. But Cassius Winston is playing defense this season. And there's no debate, right now at least. Cassius Winston, if the season was to end right now, he would be your conference player of the year. And if the season were to end right now, Cassius Winston would finish on the All-American first team ballot. And if the season were to end right now, Cassius Winston would be in the conversation for National Player of the Year. If this was not a Zion Williamson year, because Zion is just so good, and everybody's jaw drops when watching him play, I think Cassius Winston would have a legit shot at winning the National Player of the Year. That's Zion's to lose right now. But this doesn't work if you don't have Cassius Winston playing the way he's playing. When Michigan State was down and they're trying to find some answers, great players figure it out. And great players, this is the thing about all great players in sports. They understand the moment and they can take over games. And I never thought I'd be saying that about Cassius Winston because, you know, I always liked watching Cassius play, but I never thought he would come close to this level of basketball. Cassius Winston realized last night when his team was struggling to find buckets that I need to score. It was a give me the basketball, get out the way, I am going to find a way. And what happened? Cassius Winston hit back-to-back three-pointers, and that sparked that crazy run for the Spartans. And it's almost like, you know, the party starts with Cassius Winston. He's the DJ. If no one's on the dance floor, Cassius will get out on that dance floor, and it's like everybody just joins him. Once those two threes went in, it's like Michigan State said, all right, it's time to ball out. And the Spartans cruised. And, you know, I had some people talking about, okay, well, how in the world is Michigan State giving up all these points down low? You know, Garza was big last night for the Hawkeyes. Luka Garza, the sophomore forward, you know, he finished with 20 points. And Izzo addressed it after the game. Talking with Bill Rafferty after the game, you know, Izzo said that we put so much an emphasis on guarding the perimeter, on stopping the three-point shots, because that's how Iowa was going on that win streak. They were hot from deep. Michigan State put so much an emphasis on that on practice that they kind of forgot about guarding the post. And Garza was able to get great positioning down low, and he went on to 20 points. That's what that was. But what is also crazy is that, you know, Michigan State, 82-67, the final in that game, right? You know, a stat that really stood out to me is when you look at the box score and when you look at the field goal percentage in comparison to both teams, Michigan State shot 52% from the floor, 27-51. Iowa was 27 of 70. Iowa got 19 more opportunities to score, and yet they still get blown out of the water. Efficiency? Thy name is Michigan State.